This is the Morning Mayhem with Howard Feldman and the team. The best start to your day.
Professor Adrian Puren is the Acting Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. A very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Morning, Howard. Thank you very much. Yes, still peak jacaranda season.
It is. Isn't it beautiful?
It is lovely, yes.
It really is magnificent out there. So I'm fascinated to hear. I spoke to the department earlier in the week, and they were telling us, telling us about the mobile vaccination sites at the voting stations. How did that go?
I don't have much information on that. I suppose it, you know, provides opportunities to provide and promote access to vaccines. So I would be interested to see how that went. But as you know, if you look at the vaccination rates, they're not as they should be in terms of the daily number. So I'm not sure to what extent that may have contributed further to just looking at the numbers that are coming through. But it may well have provided some opportunity. And I think we need to make use of every possible opportunity to get people vaccinated to really try and change the face of a resurgence. I think it's really, really critical for us to do that. Yes, absolutely.
So what is the reason? Why are our vaccination numbers low? It doesn't make sense. You know, I've said, well, we need to vaccinate the youth, and then we need to, and we're doing it all, but our numbers are still low.
Yes, I think there are probably multiple reasons, from the usual ones that we run out and say, you know, about vaccine hesitancy. But I think that maybe there are some other factors in terms of access. You know, are we really providing access to people who may not be, you know, not easily be able to access the vaccine sites? Are there these opportunities, the mobile sites, that we will have to use to really try and reach the larger numbers of individuals? It could be multifold. And I think we just need to look at what those factors are and try and address those to really try and have larger numbers vaccinated. Again, you know, as I think we've discussed in detail, it's not about reaching 67% or 70%. It's more than that. So how do we achieve that, given that it's not simply that particular number?
The research that is being done, does it show any specific pattern, or is it multiple reasons?
I think, from what I can get, from what I can gather, I think it's probably multiple reasons. I think that one will then, as I said, have a targeted approach for each particular area. You know, when we talk about vaccine hesitancy, what's the spectrum there that we need to address, such as, for example, addressing people's concerns around pain at the vaccine site, for example, or if there's more severe concerns, such as this has been a rushed process, you know, how can I trust this process to the, you know, the extreme side? So there's that particular spectrum. I think some of it is more easily manageable than other parts of that. But I think it's also around the access again. You know, do we know that people are able to access these particular sites? You know, I know we talk about all the clinics, they were designed to serve the various populations in our country, but, you know, is it still a matter of, in that those particular vulnerable groups, for example, a matter of being unable to afford it? Or again, coming back to the whole point about the trust in the health system, again, will also be a critical consideration. So I think it's multiple factors. Again, you know, if you look at the males versus females, again, males are less likely to be vaccinated. But then again, that's been a problem overall.
Yeah, because we've been stupid for generations, men. Like, it's not a new thing.
I know, absolutely. So, you know, so again, how do we manage the males? As you said, you know, it's a consistent problem. That's not something new. And again, it just simply now raises its head again, because now we do have to vaccinate males. So how do we try and attract or make sure that we can have access to males? And again, I suppose also about the weekend testing and so forth, vaccination plans. I think there's also opportunities that I think we should really try and make better use of. To really, again, gain greater access to these particular groups that are probably working, finding it therefore difficult to take time off work, and so on, yes.
What I find interesting is that I thought right at the beginning of the pandemic that South Africans, because of our HIV awareness, because of how seriously we've had to take health, because of the number of people that are HIV positive in our country, that we were quite responsible. I would have thought that that would have translated to vaccines. People are visiting clinics once a month, getting medication, making sure that they managing their HIV status properly. Surely there's somewhere in there is the answer that when people are coming to the clinics for their medication, that they can be encouraged to vaccinate.
So Howard, again, you know, I was just looking at just before the onset of the pandemic. And if you look at, I think there have been gains, you're quite right, in terms of health seeking behavior. And that certainly contributed to longer life, but it's really glacial in some ways, you know, when you look at that. And I think this particular pandemic is certainly worse than that as well. If you look at people who should have been going to the clinics for routine checkups, collection of medication, testing. So I think overall, I think there's been a global effect in terms of health-seeking behavior. And I think that may have also then translated into, you know, vaccine-seeking behavior as well. Mm. So you're quite right. I think there have been gains, but I think this pandemic has certainly maybe had a negative effect, given what we've seen in terms of other aspects of our health system. Yes.
One of our listeners asking, people that are currently in hospitals or maybe even in jails, are they still given a choice whether to vaccinate or not?
As far as I'm aware, they should be, because again, there are no mandates currently. I know that certain operations are certainly introducing that, including the National Department of Health. But in terms of the general population, I'm not aware that it's actually a mandate at this time.
Right. So at this stage, they might still have a choice. Is there a greater need, or do you think that it's just not really a possibility to start greater campaigns? Because we're not seeing a huge amount of marketing campaigns around vaccinations. Maybe there isn't money for it, but do you think that will help?
I think it may contribute, but I don't think that may be the entire answer. You know, we have these public campaigns, the billboards and so forth. I don't know to what extent they actually reach the populations that we do need to reach. I think certainly, you know, social media and so forth are also, again, I know that they are downsides to that. But certainly, again, you may only be able to target specific groups that will certainly come forward. But even there, as you know, that's a really divisive and really controversial area. Absolutely. Sometimes. It's quite potent in terms of the messages it can provide, but again, I'm not sure if it's going to be the entire answer to achieve the levels that we want to achieve.
Professor Adrian Apuran, Acting Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, talking to us about the vaccination rate. It is 8:44. I'd love your reaction, please. 3451900618951019.